We are back with Richard Wrangham. We were talking about the bonobos, and we were talking about how, in an evolutionary sense, something changed.
Yeah, it's really, you know, I think of it as an extraordinary gift that evolution happens to have left us, because it's only because we happen to have chimpanzees and bonobos as our closest relatives that we can get some hints about the way in which our behavior has evolved. And chimpanzees and bonobos represent, in many ways, two opposite extremes. You know, both of them have the capacity to be really wonderful in terms of their cooperative, empathetic relationships. But at the same time, chimps are one of the most violent of primates, and bonobos, that look incredibly similar to chimps, to most people indistinguishable.
And were mistaken for chimps.
Actually. And were mistaken for years.
Until the 20s.
Right.
By professionals.
Yep. I mean, their bones had been in the museums for a decade or more before people realized that this was a different species. So very similar to chimps, and yet their behavior is strikingly different, and one of the most important differences is the fact that they are very much less violent. Not only are there no hints of them carrying out these lethal raids and stalking and hunting of neighboring individuals, but whereas male chimpanzees, in a sort of strange routine of social development, attack and beat up adult females on their way to entering the adult male hierarchy, the result being in chimpanzees that every male is dominant to every female, in bonobos, it's almost the reverse. The male bonobos do not attack the females, and in fact, in many ways, the females are dominant to the males, or at least co-dominant with them. And how does this happen? In these relatively stable groups, in which males and females are both present, and females even more than males, the females develop these wonderful social relationships with each other. They form supportive bonds, which are so supportive that once they have them, if a female does get into a little conflict with a male and he loses his temper with her and sort of forgets who he is and starts trying to use his greatest strength with her, she can give a call and any female in the neighborhood just comes barreling over and comes in on her side, and four or five of them will chase him off, and that'll be him gone for the rest of the day. And that's the way they maintain their dominance over the males. So here is a species in which we can pretty confidently reconstruct that they had a chimp-like past, with males dominant to females, and females have, as it were, taken it into their own hands and recovered the day.
They organized.
They did.
And well, of course, the fascinating question, why human females don't do this more?
Well, isn't there also the fascinating question of, could human females do this more? You are a professor of anthropology in addition to studying chimps.
Yeah.
Does this not, forgive if this is too far afield, stop me, but does this not speak to the human condition to say we still have options? We're not stuck with what we are and where we are at the moment.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Evolution doesn't have to stop here, and we don't have to be what we are today.
I mean, there have been forces against female cooperation, female-female cooperation. In chimpanzees, they are a rather stark and simple force, which is that if you're burdened with a baby, you have to travel slowly, and that means that you can't afford to be in the groups, and therefore you are on your own, and therefore you just don't have time and opportunity to establish good relationships with other females that you can use to form bonds against the males. And a test of that hypothesis is that in captivity, the females should be pretty good at it, because they spend time with each other. And that's exactly right. Mm. I mean, here we are at Emory University with one of the world's great primate centers, and Franz de Waal was showing us this morning one of the big colonies of chimpanzees, where indeed the females will not put up with being bullied by the males. The males are still dominant, absolutely, but if they really get out of hand and start being mean, then the females will form a supportive alliance and go and chase him off. Well, fight back anyway.
Mm.
And then for humans, you've got the problem that female relationships are mediated through their relationships with the male.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got this tension between, on the one hand, potentially benefiting by forming a supportive relationship with other women. On the other hand, that may jeopardize the quality of your relationship with a man. And that's, you know,
that
a familiar
is a great
problem.
Tension, yeah.
Yeah. And that relates raises all sorts of questions about why the male-female relationship exists. But nowadays, you can find new ways to think about how women can communicate with each other, as it were. And I think that the model that is maybe being developed in conflict resolution in recent hotspots around the world is really exciting. And look what happened in Ireland. The women on both sides of the border saw their own children at threat. They started thinking about the children of other women on their own side. Then those women got together in groups, started putting pressure on their own politicians, who, of course, mostly male. But then they made the jump and said, well, let's communicate with the women on the other side. And then both sides have got women who are putting pressure on the politicians. And it's the same model that happened in Bosnia and very similar in Argentina. There may be a lesson here for how, with the internet, you know, with possibilities for communication that have not previously existed.
Well, and with women coming into the workforce where they haven't been before.
Well, yes, but they have to also be able to communicate sort of past their own local world to a wider world where they can say, look, how incredibly stupid it is that males want to carry out all of this conflict when they don't realize that it would be much better for everybody.
Or at least we could feel sorry for them that they're still stuck with behavior from our past.
Well, that's a very magnanimous view if you can get past the violence.
I want to go back to this notion of culture, and also I'm real interested, curious in the research that you have to do in order. I mean, this is not a scholastic exercise in the sense of scholasticism. You really go out and study. This is not sitting in an armchair speculating on what's going on. You form these hypotheses and then you test them. With the chimpanzees, there are three subspecies: East Africa, West Africa, Central
Africa. Maybe four now. Yes.
Always growing. We're still learning.
Right.
But the bonobos is one species, and it is geographically isolated.
Yes.
I mean, they are essentially contiguous. Is there any way of discerning? Presumably, these cultures develop in if not isolation, at least by being localized. But presumably, the cultural adaptations. This is a question. Where the cultures develop. Can you distinguish a culture from one tribe to another, or is it geographically located, or is it some mixture of that? And what I'm really driving toward and asking is it possible that some of the bonobo behavior is that geographical continuity that does not exist, is clearly with chimpanzees?
Yeah. At the moment, all of the evidence is pointing in the direction of geographical variation rather than cultural variation as a shibboleth. You know, so that if you look at several different communities within a particular forest, they seem to share the same culture, even though they have hostile relationships with each other. But there may be exceptions to that. We don't yet know the situation well, and we're just beginning to look at this in terms of their calls, because there is variation in the calls they make.
And vocalizations?
The vocalizations, yes. They're long calls. And they clearly do know how to recognize strangers from their own group. But whether that's because they recognize them as individuals or there's a sort of shibboleth call, we don't yet know.
Or a dialect.
Exactly.
To overstate
sort of, it. Yeah, I mean, equivalent of a dialect, exactly. So we don't really know much about that. But when we come to bonobos, the bonobos have been studied in enough different places that it's clear that their behavior is different because of something in their psychology. Mm. There may well be some geographical cultural variation as well. But if you take bonobos and put them in a zoo or in a field station in exactly the same number of males and females as in a chimpanzee group neighboring, then chimpanzees behave pretty much like chimpanzees and bonobos behave like bonobos. So in zoos, you find that coalitions of females form and they dominate the males, and the males are actually scared of the females in bonobos in captivity. But you might get coalitions forming in zoos in the chimpanzees, but the males still rule the roost, even though the females try and fight back.
May I venture a silly oversimplification? Are we somewhere between the two?
Well, we have aspects of both. I mean, the bonobos have a quality of gentleness and sort of thoughtfulness about their social relationships, which is in many ways much more resonant with the way that human beings interact. I mean, as one sort of kind of trivial example, when they set themselves up for copulation, they will touch each other and steer each other into position in a rather appealing human-like way. They are very good at making up in quite mild ways in relation to minor forms of competition. Their sexual behavior is more resonant with our own. I think that these are examples of convergence rather than evolutionary continuity. I think they evolved from something very much like a chimpanzee in a way that we also did. But it is indeed intriguing that we combine some of the more attractive characteristics of both species, as well as some of their not-so-nice ones.
We'll be back with a couple more minutes with Richard Wrangham in just a moment, Bill Russell, and I hope that you'll be with us when we return.